We are in Sivot Shalom Parshat Toldot on page Kuf Ayin Vav Inyan HaBrachot. This concept of the brachos, this at the heart of the parsha, the opening of the parsha, the conclusion of the parsha, the beginning of the parsha, where Yaakov fights to get the brachot from Esav. He purchases them from Esav. He gets them from Esav. And in the end, where he has to trick Yitzchak in order to get them. What is this struggle over the brachot all about? The Sivot Shalom opens up quoting the Pesukim from the parsha. It was when Yitzchak got old and his eyes were dim from being able to see. He called Esav, his elder son, and he said to him, my son, and Esav said, I am here. Yitzchak says, I'm old now. I don't know when the day of my death is going to come. Go and take all of your weaponry and go out into the field and go and trap for me, find for me, capture me some food. Vasili matamim, and make for me wonderful tasting food. Kashir ahavti, as I love. And bring it to me and I will eat it in order that I can give you my bracha. That's what Yitzchak says to Esav, sending him out in preparation to give Esav the bracha. Says the Nesivos Shalom, Tzirich Beor, we have to understand. Kol inyan ha-brachot, this whole thing with the brachos, Shelo matzinu dugmato etzel shar ha-avot v'haro'im ha-kadoshim. We don't see anything like this by any of the other avos, by any of the other roim. We don't see anything like this. Shebirchu et b'nehem lifnei where they go and they bless their children before they die, and Davka bless them with very physical things. You take a look, hopefully you did, you take a look in the Parsha. You take a look at the bracha that Yitzchak actually gives Esav. It's about tremendous abundance in the physical world. Where do we see such a thing that there's such this power of a bracha, but a bracha Davka in the physicality, in the physical world? Kein zarich b'yor, we also understand Halashon Shamar lo Yitzchak, that which Yitzchak says to him, Sana kel yichad tel yichad v'kashtecha. He tells him, when he tells him to take his weaponry, it says, Sana, raise up. Shayatzri kolmar kachna. Tell him, go and take your weaponry to go and hunt. What does it mean, raise up, lift up your weaponry to go and hunt? V'chein ma sheherich lomar, Sana kel yichad tel yichad v'kashtecha v'chein arov v'tzei asadeh. He tells him, go and take this weapon and that weapon and go out to the fields. I mean, Esav's a hunter. You tell him, you know, go bring me back a deer. He knows how to go and get a deer. This is what he does for a livelihood. This is who he is. Ish yodei tzayid, ish sadeh. It's his identity. He's a trapper. He's a hunter. He doesn't need advice on how to go and do it. Just say, go and bring me food from the field. V'chi Esav lo yada ba'atzmo, eich latzud tzayid o lehechan tzarich lalechet. Esav doesn't know on his own how to go and get what he wants from the field and how he's supposed to do it. And we fundamentally need to understand. Ever think about this again? This is what it means to open up one's eyes and see the Parsha, you know, fresh, new, and to really rethink these stories that we learned as children in a deeper way. Why is Yitzchak sending him to get food? Ever think about that? Like, what's going on? I really, really want to go, and I want to give a bracha. I want to go and I want to give a bracha. This is Yitzchak that we're talking about. I think he'd want to meditate, reflect, move to a state of nevuah, be davar to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, fast for 6 days. I don't know. Like, those are the things. It's like, no. Make me a great steak. Bring it back. When I'm finished with my steak, I got a bracha for you. Like, what's the deal? It's a very weird thing. Had he said nothing, that would have been fine. Had he said that Davka wanted to spiritually uplift himself, that would have been fine. Why would, if he thought of it, I want to give Esav a bracha, so Esav, go and get me a great meal, and then I'll give you a bracha. It's very odd. Uve'etzem adavar v'chulei. Madua yefshar haya shiavilo z'ma. And more than that, not only that, but he's like really pushing it. Just bring food. Just say, go to the house and get some food. Why don't you go and hunt fresh food to bring back? Like, that's really extreme. What's going on here? Well, Lashon HaBrachot, and in the words of the brachos themselves, Sarich Biorf, to understand, Masha Amar, that which he says to Esav. Well, it says it's Yaakov, but he meant it for Esav. He says it to Yaakov. Vayitein lecha Elokim mital hashamayim umishmanei haaretz. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give you from the dew of the heavens and from the fat of the land. And Rashi on the spot says, Vayitein, yitein v'yachzor v'yitein. What does it mean, Vayitein HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give you? That he should give you and go back and give you again. That's not pshat. What kind of pshat is that? It says, and God should give you from... And then Rashi like, no, that means he should give you and then go back and give you again. What did Rashi add there? What does that mean? What's Rashi emphasizing? What's Rashi's point in explaining the word vayitin as not only giving, but giving and giving again? What does it mean? He says even more so. If the bracha is coming from a Kadosh Baruch Hu would just give him everything in one shot. If the bracha is a Kadosh Baruch Hu should give you from the bounty of the earth, he'll just give you whatever you need. God doesn't need to give and then go back and give more. What's being brought out here? The chin tzarich b'yor, we also need to understand. Mashi bracho, that which he says in the bracha, that you should rule over your brother and the children of your mother should bow down to you. When he intended this bracha for Esav, why did he include in this bracha that he intended for Esav that Yaakov should be subjugated to him? That Yaakov should serve him? Why was that the intent? Why is everybody wanting to give to Esav? If you wanted to give a bracha, give Esav a bracha that he should be good. Why is he giving him a bracha that Yaakov should serve him? Leave Yaakov alone. Just give him a bracha. Just give a bracha to Esav. Because of course, listen, we have to understand why he wanted to give the bracha at all to Esav. But he definitely understood the value of Yaakov. Why is he making Yaakov subservient to Esav in the bracha? Shu ish tam, yoshevo halim, that he's a person who's complete, who's wholesome. He's yoshevo halim. He's always learning in the Beis Medrash. Ve'osik tamid b'torah v'avodah. He's always learning. He's always avod Hashem. Why would you make such a person subjugated to Esav? Why was that the intent in his bracha, the original intent in his bracha? So let's get into it. Top of the next column. Let's get into it. Va'inyan. Dinei bi'or la'ayil hatam madua v'yahav Yitzchak et Esav. In the previous piece, he went into great detail and he explained why Yitzchak loved Yaakov. Because it's very odd that Yitzchak feels more drawn to... that Yitzchak loved Esav. It's very odd that Yitzchak was drawn to Esav at all. Why wouldn't he have been drawn to Yaakov? Yaakov, the Ishtam, Yaakov, the Yosheva Olim, Yaakov was doing Torah Avoda. What was the draw of Yitzchak to Esav in the first place? It's a Mefurish Pasuk. Vayehav Yitzchak and Esav. V'rivkal, heaven is Yaakov. Yitzchak felt more drawn, felt more love towards Esav. And it was Rivka who loved Yaakov more. What was going on there? So he explained in more detail in a previous piece. We're talking about the Avos. We need to remember we're talking about the deepest of the deep. And even here we're barely scratching the surface. If Yitzchak loved Esav, even if he made a mistake, even if he was wrong, if Yitzchak loved Esav, there was a reason for it. There was something very deep happening there. What did Yitzchak see in Esav that drew him to Esav? He saw in Yaakov and Esav two different modes of Avodas Hashem. He genuinely saw in Esav and Yaakov two very different modes of Avodas Hashem. What was Yaakov? Yaakov u'kodesh kadashim. Yaakov was the Holy of Holies. Parush legamrei mikol shayachud olam hazeh. Totally disconnected from this world. Yaakov lived and ate and drank and slept and lived in the Beis Medrash. Yaakov was learning all day and all night. He lived and breathed Torah and Avodas Hashem. It was his whole life. Kimo shamru chazal say, Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, like it says by Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, there's a machloket in the Gemara whether or not you just go to the Beis Medrash and learn your Beis Medrash all your life and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take care of you. Believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take care of you. We have to actually go and learn a livelihood. So there, when it talks about in the Gemara there, it says that many tried to do like Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. And yes, just go to the Beis Medrash, sit, learn, and say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take care of me. And the Gemara there says, many did like him, but it didn't work for them. It's not simple. But Yaakov did. Yaakov went to the Beis Medrash. He said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take care. And it was in the Beis Medrash for years. Totally disconnected from Olam HaZeh, totally disconnected from the physical world, on an entirely different plane of existence. V'ilu Esav, and then when it came to Esav, Oved et Hashem b'chol in Olam HaZeh. In Yitzchak's mind, what did he understand in Esav? What did he see in Esav? What did he think Esav's avoda was? That Esav's avoda was not separating from Olam HaZeh and sitting in the Beis Medrash all day. What he saw in Esav was the derech of avodas Hashem, of serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not by separating from Olam HaZeh, not by separating from this world, but the opposite, by dafka engaging in the world, serving God through the physical world. Shu ish yodei atzayit ish sadeh, that Esav was a man of the field. He was a hunter. And he thought that what Esav was doing, he was going out there into the physical world. And as he engaged in the physical world, he was uplifting, raising up everything in the physical world to Avodas Hashem. And what Yitzchak thought was between the two of them together, Yaakov separating himself, and then Davka through Esav, yes, getting his hands dirty in the physical world, uplifting the physical world, raising up, elevating the physical world, that was going to bring the tikkun. Because as Chazal is saying, he brings this down to many places. What a Kadosh Baruch Hu wants more than anything else, a Kadosh Baruch Hu wants a dirava tachtonim. He wants to live, to dwell in the lower realms. He wants to live, to dwell here with us. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu ultimately wants. Not for us to separate and go up to Him, but for us to create a reality of Kedusha here on earth. A reality of Shechina, of Mishkan. A reality of Kedusha, of Kodesh and Kodesh HaKadosh and Beit HaMikdash here on earth. And to unify that loftiness in the physical world itself. To take all elements of the physical world and to raise them up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Nimsad, it turns out, Shavodat Hashem b'chol inyanei ha'olam hu tachlit ratzon ha'borei b'briyat ha'olam. What comes out of this is that the Avodas Hashem, when one makes one's Avodas Hashem in all aspects of the world, in the physical world, that's the end point of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants in the world itself. And therefore, and understand, this is where Yitzchak was coming from. V'lachem savar Yitzchak. Therefore, Yitzchak thought, ki Esav hu ha'asik b'tikun olam. It was Esav that Davka was doing. It was Davka Esav. He was the one who was trying to fix the world. He was going out there. He was going into the physical world. He was hunting. He was trapping. He was engaging the lowly physicality. Why? Because he was raising it up. That's what he thought Esav was doing. He trained under Yitzchak. He grew up on the knee of Yitzchak. He grew up on the knee of Rivka. And they thought he was going out there and living the dream, living what they were supposed to be doing. And going into the physical world and lifting up the physical world. You find an animal, you shecht it. Like the halacha says, with the kavanah that you're supposed to have. You remove all the blood, like the halacha says, in all the ways you're supposed to. You cook it in your makbid in the kitchen, exactly what to do in terms of cooking with the meat and the milk. When you eat it, you say a bracha. Every step of the way, he was focused. He thought Esav was focused. His goal was to engage the physical and dafka to uplift the physical. That's why Esav was going out there. That's what he was going to do. Shu ish sadeh, that he was a person of the field. Shema'alet kol yanei olam hazeh, that he was raising up all of this world. L'tachlitam la'avi al yadam et tikkun ha'olam liyot la'ashem yibrach diyarav tachlanim, that his whole goal was to raise it up and to give God a dwelling place here on earth. Ukimamar Harav HaKadosh HaMagid MiMezrich, as the Magid MiMezrich says, Mal'ah Ha'aretz Kinanecha. The Pasuk says, Mal'ah Ha'aretz Kinanecha. The world is full of your things. Okay, what does that mean when it says that about a Kadosh Baruch Hu? He has such a beautiful vort, a beautiful Torah on what that means. How does he understand the Pasuk? What's another layer of what this Pasuk is saying? What is Mal'ah Ha'aretz Kinyanecha? Not just that everything in the world belongs to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Here I would phrase it differently. Ha'olam Malei Badvarim She'efshar Liknot Chai Parach Al Yadam. Mal'ah Ha'aretz Kinyanecha. The world is full of not things you own. The world is full of ways to acquire you, God. That's what this world is. Mal'ah Ha'aretz, the world is full of kinyanecha, of ways to acquire you, of ways to get close to you, of ways to connect to you. That's what the physical world is at its heart and soul. That's what it's meant to be. The reality of how we're meant to engage the physical and to understand this is the avoda of life is we're not meant to separate from physicality. That's not the goal. It could be at the beginning we need to separate from physicality in a little bit more of an extreme way if we've been interacting with it negatively until now. Sometimes that pendulum needs to swing one way, so it needs to swing back. And so maybe at the beginning of one's journey, it could be, depending on the person, that maybe you do want to separate from the physical a little bit more and get a better balance and handle on how to interact with it positively. But the goal is, and that the ultimate goal is to, yes, engage with the physical world, but to lift it up. To recognize that the goal of engaging in physicality and how to understand that engaging in physicality is we're meant to engage in physicality never as an end unto itself, but only as a means to a spiritual end. We're never meant to engage in physicality as an end unto itself, but always a physical means to a spiritual end. It's all the difference in the world. All the difference in the world. Again, if I go, for example, if I go to eat something, if I eat it because it tastes good and because I want to enjoy that taste and I want to feel good and I want to feel full and it's all about me, that's engaging in physicality for physicality's sake. The goal is over time, with work, with effort, to transform my mentality. It's a physical means to a spiritual end. I'm eating in order to give myself energy so I can go and learn more, daven more, so I can increase my avodas Hashem. It's a physical means to a spiritual end. And to see that that's the reality in every aspect of Olam Hazeh, to transform every aspect of Olam Hazeh, to raise it up. When all of your pens and pencils and highlighters and various other writing implements that I can't even identify because there's so many different types on the table, right? When all of those things were sitting in the store, they didn't know what they would be used for. When you went and purchased that, when you came to Israel, so that way you would be able to take notes in your notebook on Torah to internalize it and keep it. You took that pen, that pencil, that highlighter, you elevated that physical object and transformed it as a physical means to a spiritual end. And that's what we're meant to do with every aspect of the physical world. On the literal level of using it for those things, on a level of kavana, are we taking it to a deeper level? What intentions do I have when I engage in the physical world? What's my kavana when I engage in the physical world? You're doing something very overt. You took a pencil which could have been used to write one thing and you chose, no, I'm not going to write that. I'm going to write down Torah with it. That's great and that's very literal. But what if you're doing something that's going to look the same way? Let's talk about the food example. It looks the same way. A person eating for their own enjoyment and a person eating in order to give themselves energy to do a avodas Hashem, it looks the same. The only thing that's different is my kavana. What am I pouring into that moment? What am I pouring into the physicality? How am I elevating that physicality? That comes down to me. That comes down to my perspective. And the goal is to orient myself that in everything that I do, every bit of physicality that I engage in, the physical is only a means to a spiritual end. That's the goal. It's very hard. It's very lofty. It's a lifetime's worth of work. But that's the ultimate goal. And that's how we create for HaKadosh Baruch Hu a dira batachtonim, a dwelling place in this world. How so? Because when I bring him into reality like that, I'm bringing him into this world. I'm bringing Avodas Hashem into the physical. I'm drawing HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm drawing godliness down into the physical. Another way of looking at it, I'm revealing the godliness that was always inside of it. I'm bringing it out. That's part of what the Avodah is also. That food always had the capacity to be Kadosh, to be used for Kedusha, to be used to serve a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And I'm bringing that out. It all depends on my Kavanah. It all depends on my actions and my Kavanah. Those two together. What am I doing with it? What's my intention with it? And how do I see the world? Do I see the world as a physical reality, or do I see it as a means to a spiritual end? Do I see it as something which I can take and harness and transform into a spiritual end? I'm pretty sure every time I teach this topic, the story that always comes to my mind, it was a very, very, very impactful moment for me. I was in Shana Bet, and I already knew in Shana Bet that I wanted to go into teaching. I was sure that I wanted to teach. I was sure that I wanted to teach Torah. And I went to go, and I wanted to speak to my Rebbe about it. So I went to go and talk to him. He lives in an apartment in the old city. And he said, you know, come at this time. He said, I'll be upstairs in the attic, which is like a big deal. I had never been invited to the attic before. Basically, he's got a gorgeous, beautiful house in the old city. And there's this ladder that goes up into the attic area. I knew that was like his workshop. I wasn't really sure what happens in the workshop. I knew that was his workshop. Went up there. It's divided, at the time at least, it was divided into two parts. On one side, he had his desk. And all of the svarim that he was using, I didn't know there were more svarim in the house. There was a whole other realm of svarim up there, of the stuff that he was actually using in one half of the attic. And the other half was his actual workshop. My Rebbe is a calligrapher. He does all kinds of different types of artisanry and artistry. He also does woodwork. And so when I came up there, he was making the yadayim for a Sefer Torah. Like if you have a Sefer Torah, on the top, there's the part that you roll, those wooden pieces that you used to roll the Torah, you know what I'm talking about? They're nodding. They're rolling the Torah. And so he was making the Adayim. He had made one, he had the other one, he had the block of wood, you know, in there. It was a fascinating conversation. Basically, and again, I assume this was intentional. Most of the time in the conversation, it was not clear whether he was talking about the delicate way in which you need to work with and mold students, or you needed to work with and mold the wood. It was entirely unclear which one he was talking about. Again, I assume that was intentional. And then every once in a while, he would veer and be more explicit about one or be more explicit about the other. But as we were going through this, and I was watching him make this, while we were talking about education, so he said, he took out the yad. He had basically finished making most of the yad out of this block of wood. And he looks at me, I'll never forget this. He looks at me and says, Robbie, do you understand? He said, this block of wood was somewhere out there in Africa. And somebody chopped it down. And then it finally came, and it got onto a boat, and it came to Israel. And then it went to a different store, and then it got to Yerushalayim, and then it got to Yerushalayim. Do you understand that this block of wood, all the way back in Africa and all the way till it got here, its whole life, this block of wood was screaming out, I'm a yad for a Sefer Torah, I'm a yad for a Sefer Torah, just let me out. And I just let it out. It's an incredible way to think about it. When he sees the world, he doesn't see a piece of wood. He sees a yad. He sees that which is going to help roll and be used to learn and read from a Sefer Torah. That's what he sees. When he looks at the physical world, he doesn't see physicality. He sees a physical means to a spiritual end. He sees the sparks of light inside of it. He sees the Avodas Hashem inside of it. I'm definitely not there. I'm not saying it's something you should just flick a switch and do. But that's the goal. And we need to understand, coming back to our inyan, coming back to our parsha, we need to understand that while, yes, Yitzchak made a mistake in who Esav was. He did not make a mistake in terms of what he knew was the main avodah that needed to be done. He mistakenly thought Esav was doing it because Esav was a trickster. Those who are in Seder Vav, we're going to get very into that next week in terms of the identity of Esav and its ramifications then and now, as we still have in the gullus of Edom and the gullus of Esav and Edom all the way until this day. And the sheker that's involved in that. But he's pure sheker. And yeah, he did pull a fast one on Yitzchak, but not pull a fast one he thought he was a good guy. He really thought, he convinced him, he was doing the depth of Avodas Hashem. He was living in the world, but raising it all up to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's the goal. That's the ultimate goal. And that's who he thought he was giving the bracha to. That's who he thought he was giving the bracha to. This deep Eved Hashem, who was dafka raising everything up in the physical world. Who looked at the world like we just quoted from the Magen Mezrich. Mal'aha aretz kinanecha. The world is full of ways to acquire you. The whole world is full of physical means to acquire you, acquire a connection with you. That's what Olam Hazeh is. Going back inside. Shekashir Yehudi, as we already basically hinted to already. Shekashir Yehudi ochel v'shoteh. Osek b'mischar. O b'shari yanei ha'olam, that when a Jew goes and eats, or drinks, or is involved in commerce, or is involved in any aspect of olam hazeh, b'kol, through all of those things, davka, through all of those things, yacholik not k'v'yachol Hashem yibarach, you can mamish, so to speak, acquire a Kadosh Baruch Hu. You can acquire godliness. You can acquire a relationship with a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Chas v'sholom lo alido, a person should never think that the only person that has a connection with the Kadosh Baruch Hu is the guy who's sitting in Beis Medrash. It's the girl who never leaves seminary. That's false. That is objectively false. It's easier if you never leave yeshiva. It's easier if you never leave seminary. Sure. That's Yaakov. Ish tam yeshiva alim. It's easier. However, everything that every single person in this room and every single person listening is going to go out there and do or is out there doing right now. Everything that we're doing and engaging in the physical world, that's the avoda, is to do that and dafka raise it up. That's the avoda. To acquire a Kadosh Baruch Hu through that. V'zot dafka mitoch mal'aha aretz kinanecha. That's a dafka accomplished by realizing not just that the whole world is full of ways to acquire Kadosh Baruch Hu. Mal'aha aretz, he's emphasizing here. Dafka the land, dafka the eretz, dafka the physicality, the lowliest part, the ground itself, the earthiness itself. Mitoch kol aninim aretz, seen through all of the physical things in this world, through all of the earthy things in this world. Which only seem to be these simple, type-oriented things, these desire-oriented things. In truth, we can acquire godliness through them. Through those, quote-unquote, lowly physical things, if we raise them up. If we raise them up in their, through our actions, or if we raise them up through our kavana, we transform the whole thing. V'lefichach savar Yitzchak, and therefore thought Yitzchak, ki olam hatikun yihye al yidei Esav, v'lo yodei Yaakov. He genuinely believed that the fixing of the world was going to come through Esav and not through Yaakov. Because Esav was out there getting the job done. So thought Yitzchak. Esav was out there getting the job done. Di Yaakov me elyonim hutzitzruatoch hagukah bekisei hakavod v'kamakhu saraf. I mean, Yaakov's a whole different place. Yaakov Avinu, we're told that the image of Yaakov's face is engraved on the Kisei HaKavod. Yaakov's a malach, Yaakov's a bizarre, he's angelic. He's not of this world. He's in a whole different place. He's not just in the Beis Medrash. He's mamish in Shemayim all his whole life until this point. He's living in Shemayim, he's not here. Which is a tremendous avoda. But that's not the avoda that's bringing the ultimate tikkun. It's a tremendous avoda. Chas v'sholom aleinu to belittle it. But what's bringing the tikkun is elevating the world, bringing up the world. So he didn't give the bracha to Yaakov. V'ilu HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yin Daveli D'Rabba Dovlin, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to dafka do that here, not to just separate ourselves, but to bring it into the world. V'ein Tikkun HaOlam Yachol Yitbatzea, and therefore the fixing of the world cannot come about fully. Next page, Kuf Ayin Zayin. Al Yidei Yaakov, it can't come through Yaakov. She'ein Lo Shayachu L'Olam Hazeh, he's not, Yaakov had no connection to this world. V'gam Einu Zakuk Libracha Ki Baruch Hu, and on top of that, he doesn't need a bracha. He is bracha. He's full of bracha. His whole life is bracha. He's living in Shemayim. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu learned Torah his whole life. What bracha does he need? Aval Esav. But when it came to Esav, Shetafkido lehavile tikkun gamur shel haolam, whose job in Yitzchak's mind it was to bring the tikkun of the world, to fix the world, Zakuk li bracha shekidei sheyachol libatzea tafkido. He needed a bracha to accomplish his goal. Lamshik alav hashrat hashchina, in order to make sure the Shekhinah would rest upon him. Shebechol maaseh gashmi sheyaseh ti hashrat hashchina. Meaning, it's also just a reality thing. Yaakov's living in Shemayim. Does he need a bracha? No, he's living with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Esav, who's dafka going out into the dangerous minefield of the physical world, where every step could be your last. Where every step in the physical world could be your downfall. Where you make the wrong turn, or you make the wrong choice, you put yourself in the wrong situation, or you engage something in the wrong way, and you go down the terrifying route of Taiva. And you start using those physical things as an end. Indulging in this world for its own sake. Engaging one's desire for fulfillment of physicality. Living in the moment and not for eternity. Going against the will of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, that requires a bracha. That needs a bracha. If that's what Esav was going to do, he needed the bracha in order to do it. He was the one in the dangerous situation. He was the one needed to protect it. He was the one needed a Kadosh Baruch Hu's Shekhinah to be with him and to bring the Shekhinah into the world. Because that was what he was doing. He was in the dangerous situation. He was doing that dangerous work. He needed the bracha. B'zehu tam v'yehav Yitzchak et Esav, and that's why Yitzchak Dafka loved Esav. Kivan shesavar she'al yado yitukana olam, because he thought that it was going to be through Esav that the world was going to be fixed. Ukemamar chazal say, al kitzayid b'fiv shezo b'fiv ayremeyu ad shechazik Yitzchak medrigara makazo. And that's what it means, that Esav was a trickster. Chazal understand, it's kitzayid b'fiv. It does not say that he was a hunter. He trapped with his mouth, meaning he was able to trick people in the deepest possible way. And he was even able to trick Yitzchak into thinking that he was going and engaging with the physical world that was to raise it up, even though he was dafka the opposite. And yet, he tricked Yitzchak. But Yitzchak genuinely believed he was giving the bracha to the individual who was going to fix the world by raising up the entire totality of the physical world. Next paragraph. Uvazeh yivoaru haktuvim. And this is what the psukim go on and say. Shamar lo Yitzchak, that Yitzchak said to him, V'yata. Again, this is in all of the words from Yitzchak to Esav. This is exactly what we're talking about. Shamar lo Yitzchak v'ata sana kel yechad tal yechad v'kashtecha. He doesn't just say to take his weaponry. What did he tell him to do? Lift it up, raise it up, elevate it. Why elevate it? Because that's what he thought Esav was. Elevate everything you have. It's not just a bow and arrow. It's not just a sword. These tools that used to hunt are meant to be elevated for avodas Hashem. Tagbiya v'tarum et asmecha. Raise yourself up. All of the vessels, all of the utensils that you're using. In this world, tagbiya t'romeim lem dargat kodesh kodeshim. Make them into kodesh kodeshim. Liot klei kodesh ke klei sharis. Mamish like the kelim in the base of mikdash. And again, that's by all of us. We're talking here about bows and arrows. That goes for computers, pens, pencils. Everything that a doctor uses, everything that an accountant uses, everything that a teacher uses, everything that an OT uses, everything that a plumber uses, it doesn't matter. You take everything that you have and you uplift it to Avodas Hashem. You make it into Avodas Hashem. That's the idea. There was a guy, he left recently very sadly, you miss him. There was a guy who worked in the kitchen, on the kitchen staff in Levat Torah. You would say like, the food you made is amazing. And he'd go, it has to be. Without that, how would you have strength to learn Torah? My whole day, I'm just working to make sure that you guys can keep learning. That the Shana Aleph can keep learning. He lived Torah. You walked by the kitchen, and it was like a toss-up. Was it going to be super from Jewish music, an intense shiur, or like it was like just like there's always a thought that kitchen is that kitchen was the it still is even though he's not there. It still is. It's the Mizbeach and the Beis Hamikdash. It's pure Avodas Hashem. And the guys in Lev have a kesher with all of the kitchen staff. Because they're the Kohanim who are there putting the food on the Mizbeach. That's what they're doing. They're doing Avodas Hashem. You feel it. You see it. His name is Yosef. We all call him Yosef HaTzadik. He would give Divrei Torah when he was standing outside the kitchen waiting to serve everybody. Like, you go there and anything you do in life, it doesn't matter what it is. Everything we do in life. People in my neighborhood know my neighbor. You know why they know my neighbor? Because he's the holy plumber. That's what he's known as, the holy plumber. And everybody knows who he is. And he's living Avodas Hashem. And he's fixing this world in order that we can function this world and do our Avodas Hashem. There was one time I was riding up here from Tiferet. I was riding up Shimshon, and I passed by him on my electric scooter. I passed by him. He was coming down in his van, and I was passing. He waved to me, and I nodded back, and I didn't wave back to him. Why didn't I wave back to him? Because if you're going at 45 kilometers an hour and you wave, so you end up back in Terem, where you've been previously, right? It's not a good move. You never lift a hand off that scooter. You keep both hands on the scooter at all times. Now, kids know that. Not that they go on the scooter, but they know that. Two hands on the scooter at all times, okay? Right, that's the idea. You never let go. So, what happens? I saw him later that day. He says, I wanted to tell you, I'm so sorry. I said, so sorry for what? You've never done anything bad in your whole life. What, so sorry for what? He says, when I saw you, I waved. And I didn't think that if I waved at you, what that would mean for you. And I realized you didn't wave back, and that you didn't wave back because if you would have waved back, you might have fallen off the scooter. And I should have thought about that before I waved to you because I put you in danger. And I'm really sorry. I thought about that afterward, and I really want to apologize. And this is my next door neighbor. This is the holy plumber. This is the holy kitchen staff. That's the idea. Everything that we do can be elevated to serve a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Yitzchak looks at Esav and says, yes, raise yourself up and raise that bow and arrow up and raise that sword up. Everything in your physical life, everything that's part of your livelihood, because yes, it's mutter to earn a livelihood. Kolel isn't the only way. It's mutter to earn a livelihood. And in fact, if you do it right, your mom is bringing out Avodas Hashem when you're doing that. Again, you have to know yourself. You have to know that you're ready for it. You have to know that when you pick your job, that it's something where you can elevate it, where you're not going to get lost in it, where you're going to make the right choices. You got to know that you've put in enough hours in the base medicine and learning Torah, and have a connection with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, and in connection to Avodah Hashem, that you know you're going to succeed in raising it up. Yes, but then you go out there and you got to do it. But in any job, in every job, in every aspect of the world, sana, raise it up. That's Dafka the Avodah. Raise it up. Vitzei ha-sadeh, he says to him, and go out to the field. Titna'er v'teitzei meha'olam hazeh, v'tifros mikol tavotecha. And go out and leave all of your desires behind, and go out. V'tzuda litzayit, and go and hunt for me. V'davka, v'lo ayam me'amuchan. Don't take that which is already prepared. Ki atzikun tzarich liyod me'ninim ha'osik b'hem. Because, again, why didn't you say go to the kitchen and get some food? He said, no, go into the physical world. Engage in that physicality. And be who I imagine you to be. Be who I understand you to be, even though he's wrong. Be who I understand you to be. And don't just go to the kitchen. Go out into the field and get your hands dirty and raise up this world. Because that's who you are. That's why I'm giving you the bracha. You have to be involved in it. Do it with your own hands. And since you're somebody who knows how to do this, to go and hunt. Alecha lekadesh davka denim sha'ata osik b'hem. You need to go and sanctify. Davka, sanctify those things that you're involved in. Sha'tikun yiyeh mehatzayim. That the tikun is in, the tzayim, the tikun is in the hunting. Sha'idesh yagbiyat hatzayim, that by going and raising up the act of hunting, the kodesh kadoshim, to make it like kodesh kadoshim, to make it like korbanos, he says. He imagined Esav going out there, and when he was going and checking that animal, that he was mamish bringing it onto the Mizbeach. Ah, you'll tell me there's no Mishkan yet? You'll tell me there's no Mizbeach Mikdash yet? Yeah! He was doing it anyway. He was mamish in his mind, in his kavana, in his actions. He was mamish bringing it as a korban. Go and bring a korban before you go and get the bracha for me. Because you can. You can hunt, and for you it's a korban. Vaseli matamim kasher ahavti, and make me the things that I love. What does he say? What does it mean that he says that go and make me the things that I love? It doesn't mean that in terms of the sweetness of the food. It doesn't mean that the taste is what it means. Go and dafka hunt. And through that act of hunting, when you're doing it l'shem shemayim, you're raising up that animal. You're elevating the spirituality of that animal. I want to eat food that has the kavana. That's what's desirable to me. That's what I can taste. I want to taste the kedusha in the food. I want to taste the avoda in the food. I want to taste the ruchnius that you brought into that food. That's what I want to taste. That's going to bring me to give you the bracha. That's what he was asking for. V'kivan shaya Yitzchak savor she'ikar tachlit tikkun ha'olam itkayim al yidei Esav. Next paragraph. And since Yitzchak thought that the main tikkun was going to come through Esav, ratzah limsor et lo et habrachot, he wanted to give Esav the brachos, kedei latet lo et hakoach la'avi l'tikkun ha'olam hagashmi, in order that he would be able to fix the physical world. V'zeu she'bercho v'yitein l'cha Elokim, and that's what it means when he says to him in the bracha, v'yitein l'cha Elokim. Not God should give you. Oh, beautiful understanding. Not that God should give you. That God should give you godliness in everything you do. That you should be given godliness. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give you godliness in all aspects of the world. And the dew of the heavens, uvishmanei ha'aretz, and in the abundance of the earth, uverov degan v'tirosh, and in all of the physical produce you're going to get, shetabia et kol inei olam la'elokut, that you should raise up everything for godliness. V'yavducha elomim v'yishtachavu lecha le'umim, and nations should serve you. Shetish abed et kol abriya la'elokut, that you should subjugate the entire world. Subjugate it for godliness. Direct it towards godliness. They should serve you, and in serving the way that you serve, come towards godliness. Ad l'tachlit tikkun ha'olam sha'az tiyeh kol ha'briya dira u'ma'on la'Hashem yiparach. That then the tachlit, the end point of the fixing of the world, will be that the whole world is just a place for godliness. U'perush ha'yeh givir la'achecha v'yishtachavu l'cha b'nei mecha. And what does it mean that he gave him a bracha dafka, that your brother should serve you, and that the son of your mother should bow down to you? Hainu shetikun ha'olam yeh al yadecha. You're going to fix the world. Al yedei sheta'asok b'chol yinei olam hazeh, by working and fixing this world. Be'ofen shitkayim al yadam tachlit b'tzon Hashem. V'kemo shebe'arnu b'makom acher, as we say elsewhere, al pasuk al pi divrei Mesilas Yesharim, based on what it says in the Sefer Mesilas Yesharim by the Ramchal, Shebeinyan hahitkadshut me'olam hazeh yesh bet madrigot. Then when it comes to sanctifying this world, says the Ramchal in Mesilas Yesharim, there's two different levels. Bottom line on the first column, harishona kadesh atzmecha b'mutar. The first is to sanctify yourself in that which is permitted. Hainu lifrosh li'na'er legamrei me'olam hazeh, top of the next column. V'ish madrigak v'hamizo, and there's a higher level than that. Shehaheter atzmo yehfoch likdusha kekorban shezeu tikkun ha'olam. And then there's the second level, which is that the heter should dafka turn into kedusha like a korban, because that's the fixing of the world. I mean, there's two levels here. One is level one, and it's definitely level one, which is separate yourself. If I've been engaged in the physical world my whole life in the wrong way and don't know how to do it, first thing is to disengage. Work on myself. Grow. Reevaluate. Restructure my relationship to the world. Educate myself on how to properly connect to the world. First, yes, separate. Even from those things that are mutter. I can do that, and I can do that, and I'm allowed to do that, but I'm separating physicality because even though I'm allowed to, I'm using it wrong. And so I'm stopping and taking a step back. Step one. But the next level on the higher level is yes, once I educate myself on how to do that, I train myself to do that, to dafka go back in. And then the second level is to go back and into that physicality and lift it up and raise it up. V'Yitzchak Savar, and Yitzchak thought, Sheze yuchal lihitkayem rak al yidei Esav. Yitzchak thought that this could only be fulfilled through Esav. Yaakov, like I said before, Yaakov was on a whole different plane. He was holy of holies. He was mamash like a malach. Shein lo sheichut le'olam, has no connection to the world. V'utikun ha'olam sarich liot mitoch ha'olam hazeh, and the fixing of the world has to come through dafka being in this world. V'lo yaldei ha'malachim, malachim aren't going to save the world. People are going to save the world. People see their free will in the physical world. That's who are going to elevate the world. That's who are going to fix the world. Not malachim. The brachas, even when they were going to Esav, they were never directed at Esav himself. It was never a bracha that Esav should just be successful in this world. The bracha that Yitzchak gave to Esav in his mind was that he should be able to uplift the physical world. It was a bracha for the physical world through Esav. It was never even a bracha to Esav at all. Because he thought that it was through him that the fixing of the world would come about. V'zeu perush, and that's what it means. Vayiten lecha Elokim. When Rashi says Vayiten lecha Elokim, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give you, that it means Yitain v'achzor v'yitain, that he should give you and then go back and give you again. Yitain kodem shechata v'yitain achar shechata. He should give you abundance before you sin and even after you sin, to go and keep giving you more abundance, that you should be successful in raising it up, in fixing your mistakes, and dafka, yes, raising up the physical world. Even if you make a mistake, go back and fix it. Go back and fix it. Even if you make a mistake, even if you make a mistake and you fall into the desires of this world, to get stronger and go back and fix it. There's always tshuva. That you should get more and more godliness. To go back and to sanctify the world itself. Yaakov. One more minute for Yaakov. I'm in it for Yaakov.
Yeah.
Thank you. Omnam. Rivka yad'a ki hamiyu'ar l'takenat ha'olam hu Yaakov. But Rivka understood that he who was destined to fix the world was not Esav. It was Yaakov. V'lo Esav v'meila brachot elu shayachot elav. And automatically then the brachos were connected to him. They were really for Yaakov. Al-kein sivavakach. She organized things. Shabrachot yagia li'Yaakov. That the brachos would get to Yaakov. And Yitzchak understood this in the end. Yitzchak did understand that in the end. As it says, that Yitzchak, when he realized retroactively that he had given the brachos to Yaakov and not to Esav, when he realized that retroactively, he shook. He was mamash shaking. Because he realized that that was where the brachos were supposed to go. In that moment, reality hit him like a ton of bricks. That he had been fooled by Esav. And they were meant to go to Yaakov. And he trembles when he realizes that. Shira'ah gehenom p'tuchav o'mitachtav. U'miyakov ha'reach nichoach gan Eden. He saw mamash gan Eden was open and he saw that the reach of gan Eden was coming from Yaakov. That the tikkun was going to come from Yaakov. And in that moment his eyes opened and he saw Esav for who he truly was. He saw that Esav was mamish everything that divides us from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not who brings HaKadosh Baruch Hu into this world. Everything that divides us from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He saw that in his identity that's who Esav truly was. His eyes opened in that moment. U'me'atam ha'yachol kvar levarcho e'chivan she'esav lo Lo vayetar vayisad kolo vayevk. And after that, how could he give Esav a bracha? How could he give Esav a bracha? So he focuses that bracha on Yaakov. But once he sees that Esav, when Esav realizes he's not getting any bracha, that all of his lies have been shattered and his whole world starts coming down. Vayetar vayisad kolo vayevk. The pasuk tells us that Esav began to cry. Kita'ita b'chazal, Chazal tell us, kama shekilkel midvaot elu, they tell us how much we lost from those tears of Esav. Summary, I think it's brought down there that he shed two tears. And with the first tear, that causes the first base of Mikdash. And the second tear causes the second base of Mikdash. Then Yaakov jumps in to give him a bracha, so he stops crying. Because every tear of Esav in that moment was mamish killing us. Natan lo birchato mishmanei ha'aretz yemoshavecha. He changes the bracha. He gives a totally different bracha to Esav when he realizes who Esav is, and he's actually giving Esav the bracha. He says, I'm going to give you from the fat of the land. From the fat of the land should be your dwelling. Shekan lo niskar klal elokim. God's name is not mentioned in this bracha. Because there's no connection between Esav and godliness. He gives him a bracha. You should be successful in life. But you have no connection to the tikkun that needs to happen here. That's not who you are. That's not what you're about. That's not what's going to happen through you. He doesn't give him the bracha. I give you a bracha of godliness. There's no godliness for Esav. Because there's no connection to godliness on Esav's part. From a disconnected place, you connect to the physical world, you cling to the physical world, you're a physical person, so you have physicality. We're already at time. The idea here is, he doesn't get into it in this piece. Maybe we'll actually Dafka do it. I think there's a piece where he talks about the beginning of next week's Parsha. Yitzchak's intentions were pure. Yaakov is the greatest trickster in all of history. Esav is the greatest trickster in all of history. Esav is the greatest trickster in all of history. And he was even able to pull a fast one on Yitzchak. And Yitzchak really thought that he was going to the physical world to elevate it. And had he been right, he would have deserved the bracha. And he would have needed the bracha. And through that bracha, he would have changed the world. He would have fixed the world. Because that's how you fix the world. But when he realized that Esav was just engaging in it physicality for physicality's sake, he gives him a bracha of physicality. And then that bracha transfers to Yaakov. Yaakov, and Yirtz Hashem, if we do that piece next week, we'll talk about it next week. Yaakov, who then has a dual role. Yaakov, who originally was like a malach, and who now, yes, is going to need to go into the physical world, as he's going to do in the next parsha, go into the physical world, and do what was going to be Esav's job, and raise up the physical world itself. Bezrat Hashem HaKadosh Baruch Hu should strengthen us to be able to see the spirituality and the physicality to only use the physical world as a means to a spiritual end. Through that, to elevate this world, bring HaKadosh Baruch Hu into this world, and through that, see the rebuilding of the Beit HaMikdash. Bezrat Hashem HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Amen.